I can do this.
John told me that. Do you need to start with a thing? Do you need to say something? You don't need to say welcome to the. I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but you should probably start with a welcome message.
I usually do say welcome to Comedy Confession Booth, Andy Casper.
You usually say Andy Casper.
Yeah, to everyone.
I'm not on it. Come on.
I do. I usually say welcome to the Comedy Confession Booth. Blankety blank. I thought you didn't want to use the finger puppets.
They can't see them. I'm trying to put you off. Got a little finger puppet. Dead time. Not good. Yeah. You just allowed that to happen on your watch. There was a couple of seconds.
I just want
nothing.
People to this see is... the finger puppet.
Yeah, but maybe people will listen. Is this going out just as an audio? Is this going out as a video? Sorry,
be
just
both
as
video
a video
and audio.
Right. So the finger puppet for those listening, I'll describe it. It's a pig wearing clothes. Absurd.
It really is.
With kind of, it's got, oh, one of its eyes has been destroyed. You can't see that. Is that the camera?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there's like different, I don't know. It's, look.
I wasn't really listening at the start. Have you done the welcome message yet?
I'm going to redo it. Okay. Oh, you know what? I wasn't even recording my transcription.
So we have to start again?
No, it's okay.
No, we should start again. This was an appalling start.
That was not great.
do you want me to look at you? Because I'd rather just look into the distance.
You can look wherever you want, Andy. Whatever makes you comfortable.
Okay, I'll sometimes look at you and I'll probably just look over there for most of it.
That works too.
Because I can hear you very clearly in the earphones.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
you look...
Anyway,
if you don't want to make eye contact, we can talk about that.
Well, I can also see you up there. So if I want to look at you, I can see you up there.
Yeah, you can see me. It does
on the screen.
Probably make the watchers feel like we don't really have a connection.
Well, they've worked it out. Congratulations, dear watcher. You have discovered the truth. Jamie and I loathe each other.
This makes me so sad. I really thought we had something special.
I don't want to be here. Jamie doesn't want to be here. She's contractually. What's the word?
Contractually. Obliged.
Obligated.
Contractually obliged.
What's going on? I think for a second the mic dropped out for a
it
second
might have.
On your one.
It's okay. I don't
it's not
the equipment.
All right, do the welcome message. Get this over with.
Hey, Andy. Andy Casper, welcome to the Comedy Confession Booth.
It's a pleasure to be here.
I have to say, you were one of the people I was really excited to interview. So when they said that you were headlining the spotlight this Saturday, I was like, fuck yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. That's very nice.
You're welcome. Thank you. You're one of my favorite people.
Did the sound just dropped out again? Did you see that?
Yeah, I heard it.
You heard it.
You said, did you see
that? Yeah, I said, did you see
sound?
You can't see sound.
You can't see sound, Andy. But that's okay. Because we're here to talk about you. So if my voice drops out, no one really cares. I'm feeling great about myself lately, as you can tell.
Oh, yeah?
No.
Why not? Come on. You're great. you're a real champ.
For reasons like that.
The little piggy likes you.
Oh, good.
There's a little piggy. Do we need to restate that? I'm not sure when this podcast starts or ends.
It kind of depends on where I think the funniest start is.
Okay. Well, basically, just to restate, I have a pig finger puppet. It's not mine. I found it was here when we got into the booth.
It was here.
We don't know why.
There's another one.
Yeah, can we do the podcast like this?
Yeah, sure.
This is my avatar.
Yeah.
It's a pig with one eye.
I have a little blue man.
I think it's a seal.
That's not a seal. It has a big nose.
I think seals have quite big noses.
And it's wearing
noses.
A shirt. Seals can't wear shirts.
Well, this pig's wearing a shirt as well.
That pig is wearing
You would
a dress.
Agree that that's a pig, would you not?
I would definitely agree that that's a pig.
Okay, well, it's wearing a dress then.
But this is... Oh, maybe this is a walrus.
Yeah.
It has two...
I think I meant walrus.
Yeah, did you? Yeah. No, wait,
said
no.
Seal, but...
No, this is attached.
Riveting stuff here.
Yeah.
Which
I'm
camera
sure the...
should I look into?
I think this
that
is the
one.
Main one, yeah. Yeah. So okay. For the listeners, we're showing our finger puppets.
Yeah, we're just...
And now we're just trying to drive traffic to YouTube, clearly, is the goal.
Oh, yeah.
No. I like listeners. I'm a listener.
I like listeners.
I'm a listener's type of girl, you know. Okay. I don't know. I feel like I have a face for podcasts.
Are you trying to say, why are you putting yourself down so much? Cheer up.
Cheer up. Cheer up.
Cheer up. Come on. Come on.
I'm blue.
People don't want to, people at home or wherever, on the metro, whatever, they're surrounded by other miserable, if they're on the metro, just surrounded by misery, like a dystopian hell where everyone's on their phone. They're not going to want to watch somebody else who's miserable. We've got to cheer them up with this podcast.
That is our goal. I will say there is something about, especially in comedy, and we can talk about this, about going on stage and being really honest about where you're at in that moment, how you're feeling, if you feel like shit, if you feel great, if you feel whatever, because then someone is like, wow, they are real and I can relate.
Yes. But on the other hand, sometimes you go to a comedy show and you see someone who's like, oh, I'm really sad. And you're like, this is terrible.
That's true too.
Like some people use comedy as therapy and it shouldn't be. It's terrible. Yeah. I hate that.
I hate it too. Do you go to therapy?
I used to. And now I have an app on my phone.
Oh, what's the app?
It's called Thought Diary. And I do find that if I use it every day, then it does help.
Thought Diary. This episode sponsored by Thought Diary.
ThoughtDiary.com.
Sponsor us.
This is the mascot.
That's the mascot. It's a little piggy.
Yeah.
I love that. A lot of people use comedy for therapy.
Are you sad? Do you? I get sad sometimes. But I don't go to stand-up comedy shows. I don't do open mic comedy like some people. I use thoughtdiary.com.
That was really good.
I challenge my negative thought patterns and thought and perceptions using thoughtdiary.com.
Just go to thoughtdiary.com/comedy confession booth.
/ Is it normally /?
I don't know. I just always hear on podcasts, they go /.
They say /. I don't really listen to podcasts.
You don't listen to podcasts?
Not really. I don't really like, I sort of prefer music.
Oh yeah, music is great. You guys, if you have never listened to music, turn this off now.
Yeah, it's sort of like a podcast, but it's kind of got a bit more melody.
Yeah, it's got like rhythm.
Yeah, and more humanity.
You know, I think music is really honest.
Well, some of it is.
Some of it is. I would say.
Some of it's not. The stuff that, you know, they churn out, the kind of the big, like Ed Sheeran.
You don't like Ed Sheeran?
Come on.
He's one of yours.
What do you mean he's one of mine?
He's a ginger.
The pig has been thrown. Podcast over. The pig has been thrown. Oh no, who's gonna do promotional messages for thoughtdiary.com?
I was killed by the pig.
Stop talking over me. I was just talking. You're a terrible podcast host. Nice person. I don't know if you feel bad about yourself, but your abilities as a podcast host are shit.
You know, I do tie my personal value to the things that I do. So if I'm shit at podcasting, I'm just shit as a person.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's something I'm working on.
Okay.
Yeah, I seek a lot of external validation.
I mean, you should. Have you heard of Thought Diary? It doesn't work with the fucking walrus.
No, the walrus.
But you should.
Not go to therapy.
You should use thoughtdiary.com.
I should. Maybe I will.
Yeah.
Do you pay for it?
No, it's free. I'm kind of a bit worried. It's a little bit like Scientology, where you confess all of your, you know, in Scientology, they get you in the booth. Mm-hmm. And are you now worried that I've mentioned Scientology? You feel you're going to get attacked?
No. They do that, don't they? Literally like hinted at murdering Trump. So in a different episode, so we're fine.
All right. Well, anyway, in Scientology, as far as I understand it, the opening sessions, you go in there and you're like, oh, I'm struggling with my life. And then they have a session. They're like, tell me all your problems. And then you open up about all your problems. Uh-huh. But they record everything that you say. And then they use it to blackmail you later when you want to leave the religion.
Oh, that's
so
what...
I'm worried because I write down really personal things on the Thought Diary app. I'm worried that the thoughtdiary.com has got like all this stuff on me, and fortunately I'm not like worth anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with this is why Scientology has so many celebrities, right? Because it's like, if you're an average person and you tell all your shit and they're like, we're gonna leak it, it's okay. I don't care.
Yeah, I've got very little to lose, to be honest.
Yeah, that's kind of my opinion on like most sort of blackmail. is like anyone, like, I don't know, like someone was like, you have you ever gotten one of those like scam messages on Instagram or like an app that's like, I'm gonna release a video of you masturbating?
Yeah, I have a bit about that.
You do? That's what I thought. Yeah. What's your bit? How does it like?
I have a bit where I say, yeah, I got this message, and it's true. I got this email saying we're gonna release we're gonna send a video of you masturbating to pornography. And then I go, oh yeah, but the only pornography I like is just lesbian porn. And I think in the sort of the jaded dystopian moral hell that we currently live in, like just watching two women go down on each other is not that bad. Like considering like all the horrible things that are out there, like gangbangs and bukkake and all that sort of, you know.
Why do you think stuff. You like lesbian porn?
I just enjoy female pleasure.
So do I.
Let's not talk about that. That's not what the podcast's about. People don't want to hear me. I'm not. You know, people don't want to associate me with sex.
I really don't. That's true. You are a lot of things to me, but not a sexual being. But you do have a girlfriend.
Yeah. Okay.
Somehow.
That's true.
We roast each other.
Getting ready for the roast tonight.
Yeah, I am. But it's not about me. It's about you. You're headlining Spotlight. I have ADHD. Okay. You're headlining the Spotlight.
Yeah.
Saturday at 8.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
And I want to like learn a bit about like your comedic life. That's kind of what this podcast is.
Okay.
So but we can still
I regret throwing that pig away. I feel naked without the pig on my finger.
I'll grab it when you're talking, but I'll still be listening.
Okay. Thanks.
Anytime. So we can still like banter and get off topic, but there's some stuff I like to hit, you know, like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you're ready.
Yeah, let's do it.
So tell me.
Can I pick that thing up?
What thing?
I don't know. I just want to fiddle with that.
I'm going to grab the pig.
I know, but I can see it and I just want to pick it up. There's a little plastic
thing.
Get
the plastic
thing. I want to put my finger in
it. Do it. Put your finger in the plastic thing. Are these your intrusive thoughts?
I don't know.
Is this like a cat's butthole?
No. Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. For anyone who knows Andy, he has an incredible joke about...
It's not even a joke, is it? I mean,
it's just an observation.
It's just, yeah, it's an observation.
Yeah. So tell me, like, how did you get into comedy?
I went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival about 7 years ago. And I saw, And I saw The Pig is Back.
That looks great.
Now this is good because I've got these and they can interact. This little black thing.
Oh, it kind of looks like.
I can put the head in and then I can punish the pig.
Oh, yeah. It's like a little guillotine.
Basically, the pig has a... It's not that good. Anyway, I went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival about 7 years ago and I saw some very funny things. I can't even remember specifically what I saw, but I saw some stuff that I was like, oh, this is hilarious. And I saw some stuff that was really funny. I saw the Oxford Review. They were great. That was like a sketch group.
Okay.
From the Oxford University. So those guys are probably like famous now. That's how it works in England. It's like if you're a part of the Oxford Review when you're a student, when you're like 18, 19, that's like fast tracked to kind of crazy. like being famous or something.
Kind of like National Lampoon.
I don't know. I think so.
Like, because that's like a...
Is that the Harvard thing? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, it's probably the same
thing.
Yeah.
And that's like where like Chevy Chase...
Yeah. Chevy Chase is funny, though.
Yeah,
have you seen Hot Tub Time Machine?
Of course.
Yeah, it's great, a great movie. Film. Chevy Chase has a great little cameo in that. It's very funny.
Yeah, I don't remember him being in it, but it's a good movie.
He's the technician. That's he fixes the Hot Tub Time Machine.
Right, but it's like he's like your time guru.
It's like
a janitor and like a time travel.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. He's great. I mean, he's kind of a dick, but he's great.
Everyone says he's a bad guy in real life.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
I imagine if you're like an old white guy and you went to Harvard, you're probably not the best guy.
Right, yeah.
So anyway, you saw Oxford Review.
Yeah, they were funny. I just remember this really funny thing where they're on stage and then they played this clip, like audio clip. Why were you looking over there?
I was just looking at the screen.
Oh, okay, fine. I mean, it's okay for me to do that, but you're the host of the podcast. You need to look at me.
I'll give you my undivided attention. Actually, to be honest, I remembered that my shirt has green on it, and I was like, oh, I wonder if the green on my shirt is blending in with the green screen.
It is.
So anyway.
You're great. Don't worry about it. It's fine. You're great. Okay.
I'm the worst. I'm going to just jump into the Metro tracks after this. I'm kidding.
It's cool. So heavy.
I'm sorry. Jamie. I jumped. I went A to C. I'm sorry. I didn't transition that well enough.
I do a show with her, and it's this kind of stuff all the time. It's just like, right, I have to really pick her up
Andy's
all the time.
The
like,
funny
you're fine.
One,
you're fine.
Like...
You're good. All this stuff. He's the funny one. I'm not funny. Jesus. All right. Yeah. No, you are funny. You are funny. God.
Can you tell me again, though?
You're funny.
You're funny.
Yeah, just got to have more faith in yourself, all right? Okay. Get Thought Diary.
Thoughtdiary.com.
It's not even a website, it's an app. So anyway, I remember this. Now I feel like I'm being mean. You're great. Anyway, so they did this. I remember this was a really funny recording they played. And it's just... I can't remember, but it was just... Like, they weren't even doing anything on stage. So there'd been like a bit... Like, they'd done some sketches.
Yeah.
And then... They didn't even do anything, and then they played this recording over the speaker system, and it was while it was to let them get changed or something. So they're getting into the costumes or something. So it's like 2 minutes, and it was just like it was like a phone call. It's like bring 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 bring. It's like hi, oh, yeah hi yeah, just sorry to let you know it's granddad, yeah, he's eating too much porridge again. and then they were like, yeah, and I can't remember what it was, but just this idea that granddad had eaten too much porridge and he was in hospital was just really funny to me. And I saw some other stuff. There was this great like Australian comedian.
Okay.
And she did this like, I can't even remember because I was really drunk, but it was like late night. It was at like 12 at night in the Gilded Balloon upstairs, like tiny little venue with like, you know, 15 seats kind of thing.
Cool.
But it was just so funny. She's just like riffing on Beyonce and stuff like that, and not the kind of thing I would probably have thought that I'd like.
Right.
But she kind of cornered us in the bar and was like, "Come see my show," and then we went up and saw it, and it was like genuinely like so funny. And so then when I got back to Barcelona, so I have been living in Barcelona for something like 8 9 years or so, 8 years.
Wow. So you were living here before you did comedy.
Yeah.
Why'd you move here? Sorry, sidebar.
I moved here because I wanted to live in another country and I wanted to learn another language. Cool. And experience living in another country.
Have you learned another language?
I've learned a pretty decent Spanish.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
I am ashamed of my level of Spanish, but I'm a perfectionist, so I don't think I'd ever be happy with it. I annoy myself. It's like the longer you live here, the more guilt is like an axis of just like the longer you live here, the more guilty you feel.
No, for sure. I was just gonna say, like, every time I talk to my grandparents on the phone, they're like, "How's your Spanish?" And it's always the same answer. It's just like not good.
Yeah, and that's just that bothers me. So I'm doing like a conversation class with my friend once a week, although I didn't go last week and I'm not going tomorrow.
Well, are you dedicated? Do you really want to learn a language, Andy?
I've done like language courses here like a whole bunch of times.
Yeah,
like
same.
twice a week after work, two hours and then 2 hours to 4 hours a week, and I've done that like a bunch of times, and I got to like I was studying like B2 level.
Okay.
You know. So, and it goes A1, A2, B1, B2, C1, C2. And if you get C2, that's native. C1's close to native, I think.
Right, yeah.
So I think I'm on the cusp between B2 and C1.
Okay.
But that's a bit of a claim. I'd love to feel more confident with it. So that's a bit of a shame.
Yeah. It's hard though, because
and
Barcelona
I want to try Spanish comedy. It's in the back of my mind all the time. Like, I want to get on stage and try and do my set in Spanish. Because I know my Spanish is good enough to do it.
Yeah. And if you do it, then your Spanish level is going to go way up, like way more quickly, because you're going to be immersed in Spanish. Like, everyone there is going to speak Spanish to you.
It's terrifying, the idea of doing comedy in Spanish.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's the next challenge. I think I've kind of fallen out of love a bit with The Fringe.
Okay.
Having done it now, I think the reason I loved The Fringe in the first place was seeing other people do weird stuff that's like really inspiring and just, and like as an audience member, just loving it.
Yeah.
But then when you actually go and take part in it, it's a totally different animal. It's intense. It's not, I didn't find it, and I've done it twice in a kind of meaningful way, i.e. Uh-huh. the whole month.
Right.
One time with Hector, my friend Hector Ayala. He's a legend. HectorAyala.com. he's very funny.
Does he have a website?
I don't know.
Hector, get a website.
Yeah. Hector Ayala and me did an hour, a split hour, and did that for a month, and that was tough. Ask Hector.
Yeah. Well, you guys had an 11:30 p.m. time, right?
It was tough. And then last year, you were involved in one of my shows. So, you know, you saw me and how it was. And our little moments where we'd like chat after the show, that was always the best part, because I was doing two shows a day and I had a show that started at 1:00. So that was my hour show. Mm-hmm. And that would always go well. That was always really good. But just the handing out flyers was just horrible.
Yeah.
Like I hated it. And you just never got a weekend. You're there, you don't get a weekend. And in fact, Saturday and Sunday, if anything, those are the busier ones.
Yeah. There's no such, you don't get a day off.
And it's for a solid month. And then in the evening, I had another show, which you would help me with. What would you do if that was you? This kind of game show. Yeah. But after that show was done, then that was like, for that day, that was over. So those little moments where we'd maybe go and get something to eat or go for a drink and kind of had a bit of social, and it's like, don't have to fly in out. That those were like the sweet moments. Like, they were really good, but
those were always, it was always fun because we would just walk.
But the show was like, quite fun. Like,
we'd have a reflection, we'd walk, and then we would pass Mike Rice's show and be like, okay, how's he doing? And then keep walking.
Yeah.
And then find some, we would always find another show to go see.
Yeah. Mike Rice, another great comedian, MikeRice.com.
he probably does have a website.
He might have a website.
He must. He's like touring. He's getting, this is his, like, it's so funny because when people were flying for him last year, they were like, you literally won't be able to get a ticket to see him next year because he'll be selling out.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but he's touring the UK. He's selling out.
Cool.
And adding shows and stuff.
Oh, that's sick. Wow.
That's great. He deserves it.
Good for him. I love Mike.
We love Mike.
Yeah. I sent him a message on WhatsApp about 2 months ago saying, I'm really having a crisis of confidence in my comedy. I'm really struggling. Can you give me some advice? And he didn't get back to me.
I was really waiting for Mike's advice.
Yeah, he didn't. He just ignored it. It's really heartfelt. But
it's,
I still
so honest,
love him.
Between,
I think,
friends.
I think he's busy.
He's probably,
to be honest,
busy.
I can't complain. I'm giving you shit for being like, oh, I'm not good enough, help me. I basically did the same thing, but in maybe three paragraphs of just sort of.
Can we read those paragraphs?
No.
No. Oh, you can say no. I just thought that would be fun.
There was something that triggered my self-doubt, and it's connected to a person, so I think I possibly mention or allude to that person in the text, and I'd rather that didn't.
Oh my god, I'm asking you who it is after this.
It's not a stand-up comedian.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it's not a stand-up comedian,
not a stand-up,
so none of not no, no one kind of important. Sorry, I just spat on you.
What if you're just saying they're not a stand-up, but it's like just a shit
stand-up. Oh, no, they're not. They don't even try and do stand-up. Yeah.
Anyway.
So, I can't. Yeah. I needed to take a breath. So can you talk?
Yeah. I like how you're like, whenever you're like, you're in charge, you're doing stuff. But I think that you like to have like control over situations. I do too. But my way of having control is by not making decisions.
That's not having control. That's the opposite of having control.
It's the opposite. But I still like to be in control. I'm like the worst because I want to be in control, but I can't make a decision.
You're not doing anything about it.
Yeah, I can't do shit. I get paralyzed.
Yeah, you got to just feel the fear, do it anyway, right?
Yeah, you got to feel the fear. But yeah, I mean, why do you think you were feeling... I am interested in that, though, that sort of self-doubt. not that I want you to feel that, but I think all comedians kind of go through ups and downs of feeling great, feeling shitty, feeling I'm the greatest comedian in the world, and then one day you're like, ah, this is useless. Like, why am I doing
yeah,
this?
Yeah, especially here in Barcelona. Like half the time I'm like, I'm an English speaking comedian in Barcelona. It sounds so rubbish. It sounds pathetic.
It doesn't.
In my head, right? This is why. And this is why I go to Thought Diary. Oh, the pigs are on my mind. This is why I go to thoughtdiary.com and I have to challenge those negative voices in my head and sort of like go, oh, no, that's a very strong way of putting it. It's very sort of black and white thinking. You need to, is that a reasonable balance kind of view on this, you know?
Yeah. And what have you come up with now?
Well, no, it's a daily struggle.
Yeah. Is it?
No, I'm still in the trenches. I'm still in the trenches.
Yeah, we all are. Yeah. Do you see? I don't know what my question is.
No, I think I didn't really answer your question, your original question. So that's why you've been flummoxed. It's not you, Jamie. See,
thank you.
It's not your fault.
I really appreciate the validation. This is actually comedy validation booth.
Yes. No, but I've forgotten what the original question was.
The original question was, why do you do comedy?
No, that was like the original question. There was a question from about a minute ago.
Oh, just like this sort of self-doubt. Like, why do you think you get into those sorts of cycles?
I think people that do comedy generally are people who, for one reason or another, have kind of felt like a bit of an outsider. So I think probably at a pivotal time in your childhood or adolescence, you perhaps have felt like that. And I felt like that because I don't know. I had a tough time at school, you know?
And like school-wise or socially or?
Socially. I was very alone. I went to an all-boys school. And there were a lot of kind of, it was kind of macho, I suppose. Mm. Just very, very macho. Like it was, there's kind of the coolest person in inverted commas was basically the hardest person. So right. To be hard was to have social status, I think. And I was never, I've always been quite sensitive.
You? So, I'm sorry.
Just bringing back.
That was insensitive of me.
Bring back some memories of the times when I was bullied at school.
Hey, I was bullied too.
Yeah, but
it
wasn't.
I bully others now. No,
it wasn't just kind of. It wasn't just kind of bullying. It was also just exclusion of kind of. There were some kids who were kind of actively nasty to me, and I was bullied for a brief period. I would describe it as bullied, like kind of. Targeted, but it wasn't. Other kids had it worse, to be honest.
Right.
There were some other kids that got it worse.
Yeah.
And I've got a friend that I went to school with who I sometimes still see, and I haven't seen him for a while. And when I tell him, like, oh, I was bullied at school, he's like, oh, you weren't bullied. Which not cool, because you're kind of invalidating.
Yeah, like, don't gaslight.
Yeah.
That's gaslighting.
That was his view. It's just like, but he was quite a tough guy. So I don't know, he had a sensitive side as well, and I think that's probably why he was kind of friendly with me. But he was also like an athlete, and
you're kind of athletic though. Like, you didn't you play soccer?
I used to before I got my knee injury. Yeah. But when I was 13, I really used to like playing football, but and rugby. I was really good at rugby, but then I think psychologically or whatever, I just couldn't cope with the atmosphere of it being so macho, and kind of, I was scared, I think.
Yeah.
And I was sensitive and I didn't fit in. So then I just started kind of, I don't know why it's like this when you're a teenager, but I think it can be is like, either you're into music or you're into like sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I got into music.
Same.
As a kind of a different, as a way, I don't know, as a self-expression or whatever. So that's, and then I stopped playing sports.
Right.
I started playing football again when I got a bit older, so I liked it.
That's nice. I mean, did you, because I remember, like, I also was a music kid in high school, and I have these like really lovely memories with other music nerds where we would like hang out in each other's, like we would go to each other's houses and we would listen to songs and weird time signatures and try to figure out the time signatures of the songs and like.
My group of friends then, when I did start making friends when I was a little bit older, they were like the music kids. So like we'd start bands and stuff like that. I played guitar.
You in a band?
I was in bad. We did one show.
What was the band called?
It was
called terrible.
My first bare knuckle boxing, and it was like a new metal band, and it was about 2007.
Oh my god!
It was a bad time to be in the new metal business.
My first bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, and I was so nervous when I played. I couldn't even play the riffs on stage. I kept fucking up. It's very embarrassing.
No, it's awesome. It's really cool.
But just come back to your original question. I think a lot of people who get into comedy, they are outsiders when they're adolescents for one reason or another. They go through, and it's not always like this. Some people start comedy when they're like 19 or 20. Mm-hmm. Like you started quite young. But I think a lot of people, they go through their 20s. The first part of their 20s, and they're trying to figure stuff out, and they're kind of, I don't know, and then somehow something happens and they're like, yeah, maybe I'd try stand up.
Yeah.
And they find something in it that's kind of, it's like, I don't know.
Did something happen for you that you were like, it's my turn to try?
No, but I think the thing for me was I did it in a way. So at the start of this podcast, I was saying, oh, people use stand up for therapy, it sucks. But I think probably when I started doing stand up, I was using it a bit as therapy, a little bit. And then I realized that it didn't solve any of the problems.
Yeah.
And that's important. It's like there's that thing you go, right, I'll try this because I'm struggling psychologically or whatever with life. And I'll try this and then this will solve everything. And then you get, it's almost like the Wizard of Oz, you get past the other side of the curtain and it's like, I didn't solve anything. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
So then after that, I eventually, after kind of just... I don't know, just really struggling with my mental health. Then I went to get therapy. And I was carrying on doing stand-up, but my relationship with stand-up changed in that it was no longer therapy. It was stand-up. It was a craft or, you know, something I enjoyed doing, something I, you know, really enjoyed doing. So
still enjoy it.
Yeah. I do still enjoy it. I really like being on stage. And I think being on stage, it's not exactly therapy, but it can be an escape. Like if I'm feeling down... I don't go on stage and think this is going to solve the reason that I'm down, but it is a nice reprieve sometimes. It is a bit of an escape. It can be, you know?
It can be, for
but
sure.
But what I mean with people using stand-up as therapy, I mean, when they get up on stage and they talk about their problems without having really... It's just disrespectful to the art form if you haven't turned those problems into comedy, because there's a format for it, I think. It has to be a certain way, or you have to spin it in a certain way. You know, if you're just getting on stage and you're just going, I'm sad and here's this thing about me, here's this sad thing about me, here's this sad, and you're not like, I don't know, trying to make punchlines or whatever, if you approach stand up in a different way, there's not like necessarily a right and a wrong structure, but
right,
you got to find a way of it being funny.
Yeah, I think
people come there to escape as well,
right?
I think. Because I think I think life's tough.
I think
life's tough, and I think it's tough for everybody.
It is.
I don't think we live in a kind of a very like nice world in a way. I think like the system, even like it sounds a bit wanky. Oh, it's the system, man. But I do think like there is stuff that's like. I don't know, just we are all anxious. We're all on our phone all the time. I don't think the phone revolution's been good for us at all.
Not at all. I was talking to my grandmother about it. I was like, man, I wish I just spent less time on my phone. And she was like, well, you know, if you want to spend less time on your phone, just stop using your phone.
Yeah, but it's not.
But it's, I was like, no, it's not that easy.
It's a Pandora's box. It's like once it's opened, you can't put it back in the box.
Right. And you can't, I was like, you need it to
use your bank. I need it. If I want to send money to someone, I need to have a smartphone.
Right. And doing comedy, you kind of have to have a social media presence.
Yeah. And I hate it. I hate that.
Me too.
And I hate having to do that. And it's just because I go on my phone and I, with one thing in mind, and it's like, oh, I'm going to promote this show. and it's designed to distract you. You get on there, you're like, I've got this objective in mind. And then suddenly, you know, 10 minutes have gone and you haven't even done the thing you set yourself the task to do. And you've just wasted your time looking at other people doing things or whatever.
Right. And other people doing things. Sorry, I had a frog in my throat. Other people doing things that is then making you feel like shit because they're making comedy reels or they're...
It's pressure. It's making you feel like...
Like you're not doing enough.
You're not doing enough. I should be doing that. Or I should have that level of... they've got however many views or whatever it is. I don't think that thing of like, I want to get loads of followers and views has never really been something I've wanted. But I think sometimes I do have an instinct of like, okay, I need to, especially when you have a show, right? When you put on a show and not that many people turn up. Mm-hmm. And then you maybe see somebody else has put on a show and it was sold out. And you have those kind of like you have sort of thoughts like, oh, I'm better than them and that kind of stuff, which is ego.
Yeah.
And and those thoughts are instinctive thoughts. And they're a reaction, they're a feeling. It's that jealousy, I suppose. And you've got to accept that that's a part of you, that you've got that thought sometimes. But I think then the question becomes, what do you do in the face of that? When that thought comes up, do you indulge in it? Because you can feed those thoughts, I think. Or do you try and challenge it by going to thoughtdiary.com? And
this episode is sponsored by Thought Diary.
Do you challenge it? And I don't. When I have those thoughts, I think that's such an ugly thought. When it comes up in my head, or a feeling, I hate the idea that I would be jealous.
It's nice to be aware of it in that way, though, because I think I don't often go to that like meta level of thinking what I think about my thoughts. Like I just think the thoughts, and then I'm like, wow, that makes me feel like shit, or that makes me feel this. But I don't often actually think about the thought itself, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I would have said that would be a good way to be happy, because I think I think too much about stuff, and that's why I'm miserable. But I know that for a fact you're absolutely miserable in your life.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're not even thinking about things too much and you're miserable makes me feel a bit better.
Yeah, good. I want... My goal is for my misery to make others feel better.
That is a little bit what comedy is.
I kind of want to be done like in a way where, you know.
But do you know what I mean? Like done in a way where you've crafted it. You've actually, you know, you've worked at it. You've
exactly.
Suffered a bit for it, but not. I don't know if it.
I don't think you need to suffer.
No. What I mean when I say that is put the work in. Put some time and effort into it, which is a form of suffering, but so is everything. Life is suffering. I think that's the Buddha that said that.
Yeah, I was going to say, who said that?
I think it was the Buddha.
This episode sponsored by
the Buddha. How do you say Siddhartha?
Oh, Siddhartha.
Siddhartha.
Yeah, I read the book.
The book? Is there a book? They don't have a Bible, do they? The Buddhists?
No, they have...
But they must have some sacred texts.
They have sacred texts. Oh, no, I read Siddhartha by... Oh, my God, what was his name? Oh, my God, it's a really good book. It's called Siddhartha.
Okay, I'm interested in Buddhism. I sympathize with that.
Yeah, it's a pretty famous book, and it's from like the 1920s or something like that.
Hermann Hesse, maybe?
Yeah, Hermann Hesse. Oh.
Check me out.
We did it. We got there. I love Hermann Hesse. Good dude. Probably. I actually don't know anything about him other than the books he wrote.
He wrote Steppenwolf, right?
Uh-huh. I like Steppenwolf. Yeah.
I'll check out Siddhartha.
Yeah, check out Siddhartha. It's good. And it's short. It's like super easy read.
I feel like there's lots of questions we have not answered that we opened at the start.
There's a lot. Yeah. Well, we were actually kind of talking about it just now, and that's what I was going to segue into, and then...
We missed
the window, but
nice.
Back to it. So you're talking about you got to put the work in, you got to suffer. What's your writing process? Like, how do you write jokes?
I copy the process outlined in the Comedy Bible by Judy Carter. I'm just going to be honest, and I'm not going to pretend I'm special. I don't have my own special technique. When I first started, I would just write, and I didn't have any... technique. I'd just be like, I think this is funny, and then I'd go on stage and I'd say some stuff and try and kind of just record it when I go on stage,
right,
an open mic, reflect on it, and then so I just had a thought in my head. It's like, why does anybody care about what I'm saying? Is anybody going to even watch this? Anyway, sorry, I couldn't keep that thought under wraps.
That's okay. I think we had like 35 listeners in the last couple episodes. Okay. So
that's worth it then.
Yeah.
That's good for an audience. If I had 35 people come to a comedy show, I'd be fucking happy as hell.
Exactly.
No, but I just feel like the way in which I'm talking is like, I am important. These things I have to say are very important. I'm so smart. I'm so wise. And I hate that.
I understand the thought behind that, not because you come off as pretentious, because you don't.
No,
but
that's what I feel, pretentious.
You're not. And what I'll say is, like, I think that that's something that many comedians struggle with, is this idea of, like, why does anyone want to listen to me?
Yeah.
And at the same time, we want to be heard.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You know? Yeah. So I think that's, like, a very common structure. I don't know what I'm saying.
I get you.
You know what I'm saying.
Common thing.
Yeah. And the people who are listening, we really appreciate you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone who comes to shows, anyone who watches our videos or anything like that, it makes us feel really good and keeps us going. So
yeah, for sure.
Don't stop or we'll die.
We won't die. Don't. Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to take a break from comedy.
Maybe. No, there's a band I like that's called Don't Stop or We'll Die. It's a quote from Back to the Future.
Okay.
When the Marty goes up to this car, like Marty McFly, he ends up in 1955 and he has no idea where he is. And he goes up to a car and he goes, excuse me. And then the lady goes to her husband, Don't Stop or We'll Die. And then they just keep driving.
Okay.
Have you seen Back to the
Future?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I thought it was that they were having sex. Isn't there a bit where they have to have sex, otherwise he won't exist or something?
Oh, that's yeah, but they don't show that.
Oh, okay.
that's the alt version.
Oh, okay.
That's packed to the future. No, balls to the future. Back to the bedroom. I can't. Andy, help me. Talk about your writing process.
So in the book, The Comedy Bible, which I recommend.
By Judy Carter.
By Judy Carter. She says basically you start off, she suggests you do this with a friend. You just rant about something to a friend.
Okay.
I don't do it with a friend because I ain't got none. I just do it. I just write it in a book. And probably, to be honest.
We could rant.
No, I know, but I probably just feel more comfortable doing it on my own. I don't know. But maybe it probably would be good to do it with a friend. But anyway.
It'd be fun.
I just do it on my own. And then, but you know, the thing is, I just find it so awkward when someone's trying out jokes on me.
Oh my God, it's the
worst. I just can't stand it. So I would feel like obliged to laugh, but then it's not funny. And that's just, So
can I try out a joke on you? No, can I?
You just did that one about Back to the Future. It was terrible.
That wasn't written yet, though.
But this is the point. That's exactly what it would be. It would be ranting, but then, you know, anyway. So. I'll just write about something, right, something that's happened to me, or she does this thing where she tells you to like, there's loads of categories she'll give you, so it'd be like the stage you are in life, your relationship status, jobs you've had, ways in which you feel like an outsider. And there's all these categories, and she says those, and so those are quite good ways, I think, to approach it. Mm-hmm. So on one of those themes, mm-hmm. I'll usually just start writing something. But normally it will be because something in life has sort of triggered me to, like, I want to write about this right now. So I work at a school, and it's like, it's exhausting, and it's emotionally exhausting, and it's physically exhausting to work with kids. Mm-hmm. And so that, quite often, I'll just be like, I just want to write about this. I want to write about working as a teacher,
right?
So then I'll have some stuff to say, I'll splurge it out on the page, and then you try and fit it into a kind of structure, which she says, like, first of all, you go what is it right, so you have to say, for example, being a teacher, right? So that's the uh-huh. thing, and then you've got to throw an attitude on it.
Okay.
It's one of four attitudes. She says these are the only four attitudes in stand-up.
Interesting.
There might be more out there. I don't know. I'm, you know, maybe there's brave explorers out there finding more that work.
More attitudes.
But she says the ones that work are what's hard about this, what's stupid about this, what's weird about this, okay, or what's scary about this.
Interesting.
And I guess kind of maybe it boils down to like something like, well, I don't know, like sometimes I think it's like frustrated desire. That's often where a lot of kind of irony comes from. Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know. But like a lot of comedy comes from that frustrated desire.
You want,
well, that's irony, isn't it? You want something, you do some action to achieve it, but the very fact of you doing that action achieves the opposite outcome of what you wanted.
Right.
That's effectively irony. You're an American, so you won't understand this, but I think that's a good way of explaining irony. Anyway.
I'm very dumb because I'm American. So yeah, there's a lot. I don't know what irony is. I don't get it. I'm kidding. I get it.
No, I know you do.
I like that though, because like, for example, I've been working on a bit about masturbating while sad. And I think that's just a very a very literal version of frustrated desire.
Right, right. It lacks subtlety.
Yeah.
Yeah, American. So anyway, I'm just kidding. You're great.
Thanks. You too.
So anyway, that was very weird, wasn't it? I don't know what I was
just trying to like. You're giving me a little. Oh, I kind of like that though.
Okay.
But not in like a weird way.
Okay. Well,
just in like a you need 16 hugs a day kind of way.
Right. Okay.
And that was so like a mini a hug. One. Yeah. Very small hug.
Nice. So for the listener, I just kind of trapped her arm with a little plastic.
Yeah. I don't even know if the watchers mechanism. Can see it.
Oh, okay.
Because it's we're this one on the right. Progadama.
Okay. But so then, sorry. So you throw these attitudes on it. So what's hard about it? What's scary about it? What's weird about it? Or what is whatever the other one was? What's stupid about it?
Stupid, yeah.
And then so you'll say, and then you have to use the word because. So and that's where she says that's where kind of your personality is coming in, and that's your fresh take on it. Because a premise to a bit is your personal take on the thing. Mm. That's what's going to make it fresh and separate it from other people, right?
Right.
So loads of teachers out there, loads of teachers doing comedy. You know, but when it comes down to it, my experience of that is going to be different and unique compared to anybody else's.
Right.
So you'll say it, being a teacher is hard because, and then when you give that phrase, because blah, 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 mm-hmm. I can't think of anything right now. So I'm not, you know, I don't know. And then you have options after that. Once you state that, that's the premise.
Right.
And that doesn't have to be funny. That's kind of the idea of a joke is that you say something and then the punchline's a surprise.
Oh, here, I have a being a teacher is hard because joke.
Go on.
Being a teacher is hard. This is one I do on stage sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Being a teacher is hard because you have to wake up really early in the morning after having a sex dream. You have to wake up really early in the morning to go see kids.
Yeah.
And people think that's a joke. And then I go, after having a sex dream.
Yeah.
And then you expand on that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, then what she would say is like, so once you've done that premise, like typically you're going to do an act out.
Right.
You might do what she calls a mix, which is like going something is like something else, which is classic in stand up.
Right? Yeah.
You know, visiting your mother, it's like going to visit Darth Vader. And then you can play with those structural blocks, like the mix could come before the act out, you know, right. For example, that one. And then you could be like, you have disobeyed me. I don't know what, you know, that was Mufasa, but you get what I'm saying.
That's the same voice
same
actor.
Same voice actor. But yeah, you see, and then I think there's maybe another, I read it through once and I was quite like meticulous at doing all the stuff she said. There's all these exercises. Mm-hmm. I found it helpful.
It sounds really helpful. And
but it is in a way it is restrictive because it's a formula, but I found the formula liberating for that time.
Many formulas are liberating.
Because yeah, I think if you just go and go, right, I'm going to write stand up. Well, yeah. That's just so nebulous. I mean, where do you start? It's hard. But that's when I started, and for the first 3 years it was like that, or 4 years it was like that. And then I kind of got to a point where I was like, I'm not sure I really understand what stand-up is. I don't really get it. To be honest, I still don't really, I still feel like some of my bits don't fit that structure but still work. So then that confuses me.
Yeah, it's confusing. I mean, because you're someone who, when I watch your comedy, I'm always laughing. Like, I'm always like, there's something so weird and silly and fun about your comedy, but also like honest. And but sometimes I'll like try, when I watch comedians, especially in the scene, I'll be like, okay, where's their premise and their punchline, just so that I can like learn for myself. And I see it with you, but then sometimes I don't. I don't know. I'm like, it's just funny. Like, you're just funny.
But sometimes I think as well, like, there's storytelling, and that's a bit different. And even in this book, in the Comedy Bible, she talks about that. She's like, well, storytelling, it works if that's your act, you know? Like, but it's not really stand-up. Right. That's what she says.
Interesting.
But maybe she's a bit of a purist. But
I think she's a bit of a purist.
I think... But she'll say it like this. She'll be like, well, when you're telling a story, mm-hmm. if you do see a storytelling comedian, usually what they're doing is they have a bit of storytelling and then they revert into stand-up, which stand-up is there then in the present tense. Right. So, for example, I was working at a school and these kids and this thing happened, right? That's narrative. Right. And then you drop into being a teacher is hard because... Which then that will reference the thing you've just said in the narrative.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, as soon as you put it into the present tense and kind of by saying being a teacher is hard, you're asking, I think, your audience to imagine what it would be like to be a teacher. Mm. And so therefore they can relate to you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. And then, oh, yeah, that would be funny or something like that. I don't know.
Right, right. I mean, I think someone like Mike Birbiglia does that really well. I mean, he's
I didn't see him. He was at the Fringe, wasn't
yeah,
he? Did you get to see him?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Because we were going to go, or it was on at the same time as mine, or something. I couldn't.
I think, yeah, maybe it was right before What Would You Do If That Was You?
Yeah,
that's what it was. I had to leave like a few minutes early. I had to run out.
See, that's the thing about the Fringe. When you're doing the Fringe, you can't ever see anyone's stuff. That's at your time.
Yeah.
Like, and that's and annoying. That annoys me.
It's very annoying. Yeah. I think I'm going to be at 11 a.m. this year, though, so I'll be able to see everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Apart from the other 11 a.m. shows. Did you sign up for it? Did you accept the deal?
I accepted the deal.
You did. You went against my advice.
I accepted. I have not.
I told her not to.
I haven't sent in money yet.
Okay.
So it's accepted, and I'm...
I told her not to do it. She went against my advice.
I'm too anxious.
You disobeyed me, Simba.
Father, I'm so sorry. Father, I love
Let's
you.
Let's not do improv. I don't know why you did that.
You know I'm not good at it.
And I knew you'd take the bait. I knew you'd try as well. She's just desperate for love. It's pathetic.
I am.
I'm joking. I'm so sorry. I'm so mean to Jamie.
It's just our relationship. Daddy, please don't be mean to me. Daddy, stop. Anyway, I really like what you said about writing. And what's interesting is you're the first person in our, I think it's been 9 or 10 interviews now. You're the first person with an actual process.
Oh, right. Okay. That's interesting.
Which is why you're the best one. For those listening, he looked the camera straight in the eyes with a cheesy grin on his face. A little scary looking, but...
But I think it's I guess some people probably be a bit ashamed to admit that they just read a book and just copied the process.
I don't think it's very original. That's true.
But whatever.
Most people are ashamed to admit that they just don't write enough. Most people are just like, I don't write enough.
But to be fair, I think there's also like some people are like, you have to write every day. You know, Jerry Seinfeld writes every day. I just hate that. So take the fun out of it. That just takes the fun out of it. All that pressure. I didn't write for like 5 months after I did The Fringe. I didn't want to. I maybe wrote one or two jokes on my phone, but normally when I write in a book, in a notebook.
Yes.
And I've only started writing again recently just because I kind of got over The Fringe. The Fringe fucked me up. Creatively spent. I just didn't want to. It just destroys your... I don't know, your sense of self-worth.
It does, and it can. And I think a healthy thing to do is to not tie your self-worth to The Fringe.
No, but I think even so, it's just...
You have to seek internal validation.
It's exhausting.
It is. What have you been telling jokes? Because you have started writing again. I've been seeing you try new stuff. What have you been telling jokes about lately?
Yeah, I'm a bit like, I'm not sure I really like my new stuff, but that's all part of the process. And I'd done Kyla's show here at the Clubhouse the last three Sundays or something like that, or two Sundays, and then I didn't, and then the Sunday before. And they've gone, the sets have gone really well, and it's all been new stuff. The sets have gone really well. But the material, I don't think, was very strong. I think, like, because I've done a lot of, like, clowning and stuff like that now. And I've hosted, I think, more than anything, more than doing a clowning workshop, which is cool. It's really good. You should do it. People should do clowning workshops. They're good. But more than that, not just comedians, everyone should do it. It's just fun. It's like, there's something magic about the clowning stuff. But being a host and just regularly hosting shows, you have to interact with the audience, and you have to, you get a sense of, I did this clown workshop with this Argentinian clown teacher, Gabriel Chamé, here in Barcelona. There's this clown school in Barcelona. It's in Spanish, but it's like cool. So I did it with him. Me and Irene Meneguzzi went.
Yeah.
And it was great. But he has this book, which I need to read. I keep thinking I need to buy it, called El Latido, which I think El Latido, it means like the beat. Or I think it's a whip, but I think it's like loosely it translates as the beat, the tempo. And that was one of the things he kept talking about in this clown workshop, is that like whenever you get on stage, there's a tempo and you can speed it up and you can slow it down. But there's a tempo, there's a beat. And when you're a host, you become aware of that, I think. Yeah. When you're a host, it's like your job is the beat. When I see someone who's not doing well hosting, and we're all like, oh, it's boring, it's because the tempo is just slowed down.
Yeah.
And it's just...
I think some of the best stand-ups can be shit hosts, because if you have a style that's either one-liner or isn't very... like rhythmically, I think you're right. Like there are some people who do a lot of like waiting for the audience to get the punch, like, you know, using silence in their favor. I think that can be tough as a host. And I think hosting makes you kind of the best of both worlds. And then clowning, you're a triple threat. You're a stand up, a host, and a clown.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Yeah, it's funny because I just really love doing the clowning stuff, but I also really love stand up. I think, I don't know. I just doing what, one thing, Vigo Venn, legend, vigoven.com. Go see Vigo Venn. He's an absolute legend. I adore Vigo Venn. He won Britain's Got Talent last year.
He did.
But before that, he was a clown based in the UK, and he was doing Edinburgh a lot. And he's just like, I saw his clown show, not the Fringe just gone, but the Fringe before. I think it was called like British Comedian or Club Comedian or something like that, and it's just a clown show for an hour, and it's just like one of the best things I saw, hands down, one of the best things I saw.
I wish I saw that one.
It was,
I saw his
so
last year
good
with you.
Yeah, but that one in particular was just so good, and he, I went and did a 5-day clowning workshop with him, and it's one of the best things I've done. But one of the things he said to me when I got sad and reached out for help from Mike Rice, who ignored me, I also reached out to Vigo because I'm pathetic.
Wow.
And I asked him, and he's so busy now. He's just won Britain's Got Talent. Like, he's got so much going on. You can tell. Yeah. He's just must be so busy. And I said, like, I don't know if you have time to help me with my kind of lack of self-worth. And I will understand if you don't. And he was like, yeah, I might not be able to, but write the message. We'll see. And so I wrote this message, again, it's like three paragraphs or something. And he came back and he gave me a really detailed answer for like how much time he must had. And I was just so grateful.
That is so sweet. You hear that, Mike?
Really, really encouraging. Yeah, you hear that, Mike? You son of a bitch. This could have been you I was talking about with almost about to cry. I'm not almost about to cry. It's a joke.
I was like, are you? Should I give you a hug?
No.
Can I give you
I'm British.
Can you give me
we
a hug?
We don't do that. So anyway, one of the main things he said in this message was just follow your fun, you know, follow your fun. And he said all three of those words are important in that small little phrase, follow, which means keep going, just keep going, wherever it's leading, just keep going. It's got to be yours. It's got to be yours. Not sometimes we get caught up in like, I should be doing this. We talked about it earlier. You're watching people on Instagram. Oh, they're doing that. I should be doing that. That person's posting videos online. I should post videos online. But if that doesn't make you feel good, then that you don't do that. Do what is your thing, right? And then finally, fun. It's got to be fun. You got to be having fun. Again, that can be its own pressure because you're like, I should be enjoying this.
Which is the mind, its own thing.
The mind can twist every positive kind of mantra into something unhealthy.
Yeah.
Which is why you need to go to thoughtdiary.com.
Thoughtdiary.com.
To challenge those. But I do think I like that as a mantra, follow your fun. And so when it comes to, okay, I find stand-up fun and I find clowning around fun. So like, because clowning is about being like, I think there's a range. Like some people really like, they really write a lot as a like clowns. Yeah. They do write their bits and stuff, and you need to a little bit. But I think the thing I particularly like about clown is the stuff that's not written, the stuff that's like you discover it whilst you're on stage.
Yeah.
And then some of the stuff, I guess, it's a bit like stand-up. Like you'll discover something funny that works as that character. And then you know that then that's in your bank. But it's not necessarily planned. You might not do it. If something happens in the room, that means, okay, that bit's no longer going to work. So you just chuck it. Or, oh, this has come up. Oh, I've got a bit that worked once. So
exactly.
you do still build bits. And it's a little bit like stand-up like that. But it's not, when you're writing stand-up, it's a lot more intellectual, I think. And you're enjoying the process slightly differently. You enjoy writing things down and you're sitting there with a pen and you're kind of, oh, what if I said that? And oh, that could be good. Right. And even the editing, oh, I did that last night. That didn't really work. What could be a different way of saying that? Or should I just scrap that piece of work? And there's something quite enjoyable about that because it's such a challenge as well. But it's also the creativity, but it's a different type of creativity, I think, than to clowning.
Yeah. I think stand-up is maybe where it kind of comes together, right? Where you're taking writing and performing, and clown really helps that performing aspect of being in the moment and being present and having a character on stage, whether that character is you or a version of yourself.
Yeah.
And I mean, heightening that.
So, well, coming back to, actually, I just remembered, coming back to the original thing I was saying, was like, I did this new material at Kyla's and the sets went well, right? So like people laughed.
I saw a couple of them, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah. So, but the actual, when I reflected on it and listened back to it, a lot of the material that I'd written didn't work. Where the laughs came was me sensing on stage, right, I didn't get a laugh, and kind of, I guess it's instinct now from being a host and talking about the beat, right? I haven't had a laugh in a long enough time. The tempo's off. Say something different. Go somewhere else. Like get off the script. And that was, and that's frustrating because, like, I don't think I'm a great writer of stand-up.
I think you are.
I don't think so. I don't know. I think it takes me a long time to get stuff that I think is of high enough quality.
Yeah. But I think like the bits that you like in Gremlin Head, your hour, I think your bits, the writing behind them is really impressive. Like I remember seeing it and being like, wow, Andy is a really good writer.
Well, that's very nice. Thank you for saying that.
Welcome. because I think that you're really good at hitting a premise and then getting a punchline and a tag and a punchline and a tag. And going so deep into a joke. And I think that's really impressive. Like you're someone who you can do new material for 10 or 15 minutes because you can just go deep and deeper into the premise.
Right. Yeah. Which is kind of what I did at Kyla's. But see, this is the thing. It's you know, it's my own head that I can't give myself a break maybe.
Sure.
You know? So like, and I know, you know, there's nothing... I was going to say there's nothing worse than false modesty, but there's like false modesty is annoying. There's stuff that's much worse than false modesty, e.g. genocide. You know, and racism and stuff like that. But false modesty is a bit annoying.
You think sexism is worse?
What, than false modesty? No. Sexism's fine. Women are stupid. And I'll stand by that. I don't think that's a joke. That's not a joke. look at this one. No, it was a joke. It was a joke. Obviously sexism's worse than false modesty.
It is. We're coming up on our time.
I would think so.
Yeah, we're a bit over, but that's okay. He's been running long lately because I'm interviewing my friends and it's fun.
I like talking about this stuff, I have to be honest.
It's really fun hearing you talk about it too.
I could talk about it for another 4 hours.
Let's one day, longest podcast ever. What do you think is the longest podcast ever?
Don't listen to podcasts.
Yeah. I've listened to a 5-hour one before. I think we could beat it. Survivor.
And you wonder why you're sad.
No, I'm actually feeling a lot better now that there's a new season of Survivor on. Anyway, the last thing I like to ask comedians is, what would be your advice to new or young comedians?
I think, well, so like what Vigo said, follow your fun. But I also think, so from my perspective, like I run a couple of shows and I find it, I find what I kind of appreciate in a new comedian is that, like, if they come to the show and just watch, I'll be like, okay, cool, you're interested. Like I did that when I first started. I don't really now. I don't go to as many shows to support other comedians. Like, it's bad. I should go to more.
Yeah, but you're also like performing like 4 times a week at least, and it's tiring. You know,
it's tiring to be.
If you're getting
this is kind of my work now, whereas I think when I first started, it was all very exciting and you're not getting up every night. So I think it's important to go and check out shows and get your face seen. And then you'll find that, like, if you turn up to shows, a lot of stuff I think happens not on Instagram. Get in real life, talk to people, make yourself known. And they'll be much more like, I'm much more likely to put someone on stage if I've seen them and they've come to a show, and just seeing them at the show is enough.
Like if you come to Shitty Mike and do 3 minutes and, you know, I've never seen you before, it's like, okay, now I'm going to start considering you for 5 minutes. I'm going to talk to the club about, you know, and if you keep coming, when you come to Shitty Mike all the time, like Ben Pabla, for instance, like he was coming to Shitty Mike every week. Other comedians started to see him.
Yeah.
And he was, I think he's a good example of that sort of like work ethic, that showing up. And he still shows up at shows.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the other thing maybe is, I don't know, one thing I really hate in all comedians, it's not just comedians starting out, it's just when I feel like they're just trying to feed their ego. I just hate that. I just hate smug, I told a joke and you laughed, aren't I great? I just hate that.
Yeah.
I'm sure probably I have an aspect of that maybe, but I really, if I notice
if you're doing
it,
comedy.
Yeah, I know. If I notice it, then I really want to fight against that.
Yeah.
But some people, like I think some people are happy to indulge in that kind of impulse. They notice it in themselves and they don't have a problem with it.
I agree.
So
don't be smug.
Serve the audience.
Serve the audience. That's nice.
But also serve yourself a little bit. You've got to enjoy it yourself.
Follow your fun.
But don't, but also think about the audience.
This is like the monologue from Barbie.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, I mean, but that's the thing. It's about balance. It's all the best stuff is subtle and it's balanced and it's like, there's no, people who want to tell you there's one way of doing it. No, it's so complex.
It is. It's very complex.
You're never going to fully understand it.
No, but
just keep going though, because there's fun in the mystery.
Yeah, and I think you're a mystery. There's fun in you, Andy.
I said that's sort of like a sexy face.
I don't see the sexy. I'm kidding. It's beautiful.
I do need a haircut.
I like your hair.
I need a haircut.
What was I going to say? That's been our episode. Would you like to promote anything? I'm probably going to have to cut that little bit because that was awful. Is there any? So we have Spotlight at the Comedy Clubhouse at Saturday at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Which you're headlining. And then anything else that you would like to promote coming up?
So just I'm running Thursday night, every Thursday at a bar called Bar Imperfecto on Avinguda the Parallel, 104, at 9 o'clock every Thursday.
It's imperfecto without the vowels.
Yeah, Uranus Comedy every Tuesday at 8:30 at Space Cowboy in Elbourne.
Nice.
pay what you want, reserve in advance. Nonsense Pudding, that I do with this chipmunk over here, which is like an alternative comedy open mic, which we do twice a month. Follow us on Instagram. We'll both of us be posting stuff about it from time to time.
Yeah, our next one.
It's new. It's kind of a new show, and it's really fun. The last few have been really, really good fun. So it's just very silly and fun, and it's very relaxed.
Yeah.
10 o'clock on a Sunday, so not a great time, but it's a nice way to just finish off your weekend.
Yeah, and just have it just kind of let loose.
And you'll be home in time for the last metro, so it's fine.
For sure.
And then apart from that, Sadness Cabaret is similar to Nonsense Pudding, and that's it.
Yeah, cool. You're doing a lot.
Yeah.
You're a busy boy.
Yeah. Because I like it. It's fun.
It is fun. I'm glad you're following your fun.
I like to make people happy. I like to see people laughing.
This is incredible.
Thank you, Jamie Lerner.
Thank you.
You're a good gal.
You're a good guy.
Jeez, yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you next time.